Any emotion I attached to that voice was replaced with absolute terror as I realized that there was something else underneath that voice that I could not comprehend. Something so primal and visceral that my entire being knew to be utterly terrified of it. A burst of adrenaline drove me to lift the revolver to my temple.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy B, and you are listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's short Reddit horror story, Dusty has picked out another good story for you guys today. Okay, it's creepy, it's weird, and there's a little bit of witchcraft in it. So hopefully you guys will enjoy this. But without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty McBalls, aka the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro, and yes, like he said, I have a very good short Reddit horror story picked out for today's episode. Now, I don't know if you can hear it, but I am sick, so if I randomly start coughing, I apologize, okay? I don't know what I got. I think I just got a little bit of a flu, had a little bit of a fever. Last night, you know, not feeling the best, but I wanted to deliver a good little terrifying story for today's episode. So, this story is called The Farm. It comes from the subreddit Scary Stories, with the user being In the Shades. So, sit back, relax, and just escape with me for like 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30. Okay, this is a medium to long story, so it should take a little bit for me to tell, especially since I'm sick and on the verge of dying, but that's okay. So, let's get into this story right now. The fields grew nothing but rot. Blood and dirt stained the cloth I used to wipe myself, but I let the tears run down my face. My only companion was now laid to rest outside in the dead grass, buried by my shaking hands. On her final day, she was too weak to even move her lips. I touched the side of my face where her hand had grazed just this very morning. We both decided that our final resting place would be outside on the hilltop overlooking our cabin, as close to the sky as possible, hoping that whatever was above would carry us away from here. Only dirt and decay remained on the hill where I pulled her body there. What? Hold on. Only dirt and decay remained on the hill when I pulled her body there. The sun shone on my skin, but I felt no warmth. There were no flowers to send her off, only salt and silent prayers. In a way, I was relieved that now it was only I who would suffer, or who would have to suffer. As I sat inside the cabin, my gaze went out toward the tiny window. The sun would be setting soon. I used the last of our salt to form the circle around her burial. The wind had blown away most of what I had laid around the cabin, with the shape now barely visible. I shuddered at the thought of what might crawl in with even the slightest break of this barrier. I almost began to pray that this does not happen tonight, but instead chuckle at the futility of my prayers. The revolver in my hand felt cold. I replaced the last used bullet, the one that had helped me send my dear Miriam away. I pounded my fist on the table until the wood underneath splintered and cracked, until my knuckles turned bloody. The wooden walls too close to me now, making the small space even smaller, like a coffin. I fought the urge to run outside and lay down next to my wife, using the same revolver to release me. But I promised her I would wait for our daughter first. Wait for her to return, no matter how long. This promise was all I had left. I lit a candle and placed it on the table in front of me, giving me a clear view of the door leading outside. The small, rectangular window was beside it, but my attention would stay focused on the door. My hands were still shaking, not knowing if it was from hunger or fear. My vision was blurry from fatigue, and the last thought I had before sleep overtook me was the face of my beloved wife. I was roused from my sleep. The doorknob quietly rattled. "Miriam," I called out, the habit still lingering. No response, but the rattling stopped. I grabbed my revolver and pointed it at the door, trying my best to steady my shaking hand. The candle had long flickered out and only moonlight shone through the window, its light so still that the shadows it cast were frozen in place. "Honey, open the door." My heart ached and my body instinctively started walking towards her voice, reaching a few feet away before I came back to my senses. The dirt from yesterday was still on my hands. Every single fiber in my body was screaming at me to run, even when my mind knew there was nowhere to go. I stood still. The only sound I could hear was my thumping heart. I almost jumped back when the knob rattled once, quick and hard. "Let me in. It's cold." Each beat of my heart elevated my terror as I tried to hide myself from existence. But all the creaking when I walked to the door would have already revealed my presence. Something from the window made the shadows inside flicker. I stifled a scream when I looked out. A pale, bare arm was waving to me from outside the window, like someone waving hello. Only the arm was visible, while the rest was hidden behind the door. The way it moved was wrong and deeply disturbing, like it was a marionette hung from invisible strings. "It's me, honey. Open the door." the doorknob started rattling again. Open the door. The rattling intensified, no longer matching the sweet, soft voice coming from the other side. It sounded almost desperate. I stood frozen, only because my body would not move. Any emotion I attached to that voice was replaced with absolute terror as I realized that there was something else underneath that voice that I could not comprehend. Something so primal and visceral that my entire being knew to be utterly terrified of it. A burst of adrenaline drove me to lift the revolver to my temple. I did not dare to even glimpse what was behind the door. I closed my eyes as my wife's borrowed voice continued to urge me. Her voice came into my mind, not of her yesterday, but back when it had joy and color to it, and then of our daughter's face, so bright and innocent. I could hear their laughter slowly getting louder, almost like it was swirling around me. The sun was warm on my skin. There was grass beneath my feet, moist from the summer dew. Out in the distance, our neighbor was tending to his cornfields. Smoke was floating out of his chimney. I could see my wife walking towards me with a carefree smile on her face. And I smiled back while looking at her blonde hair getting blown around with the wind. Her face got closer to mine as I gazed into her light blue eyes. So clear and bright, I tried to reach out and touch her before the blood splattered onto her gaunt face and her eyes turned lifeless and pale. I barely felt the gun pressed against my temple while I squeezed down on the trigger, but it didn't go off. I kept trying, but it was stuck. All the bullets fell out and rolled away from me as I opened it up, hands shaking uncontrollably. I desperately looked around for something, anything, to let me escape this reality. I cried out when I realized the revolver was all I had. My legs buckled when I tried to move, still shaking as I tumbled onto the cold wooden floor. I crawled towards the table where the rest of my bullets were, my mind racing towards a single goal. I tried to climb up the table, but my legs were too weak. My arm slipped off the table, body drenched in sweat. I laid down and started to pray. I prayed for anything and everything. I soon ran out of prayers. All I heard now was my breath. I opened my eyes and the door was not rattling and there was no voice. Specks of wood covered the floor. Behind the window was a starless sky and pale light seeping through. I let go of the revolver after I struggled to loosen my grip. My mind felt numb as my thoughts slowly came back to me. It was silent. The only sound I could hear was my shaking breath. Except there was something else, barely noticeable at first. It was coming from behind the door, whispering. I thought I heard my name. I inched closer. The whispering seemed to be coming as a stream of thought, no breaks in between phrases. I barely made out what she was saying, but it sounded like she wanted to tell me a secret. A secret only I should hear. I could tell she was repeating the same phrase over and over again. Even though I couldn't make out the individual words, I still pushed my ears up against the wooden door, and I felt like her lips were right next. Rewind. Take a break. Gotta take a break for a second. Okay. And I felt like her lips were right up next to me, whispering directly into my ear. I barely discerned some words, so I strained harder. When my mind began to comprehend the phrase, I screamed. I jolted backwards and crawled to the corner, hiding away from the window, and collapsed in fright. I saw the revolver next to the table, but fear had separated my body from my mind. I saw the pale light seeping through the window, but there was a strange shape casting a horrid shadow. I heard her whispering the same phrase like a chant. She whispered my name, and each time she did, I felt like she grasped closer to my soul. She did not stop. She did not stop until the sun began to shine its bleak light. Hours after the whispering had stopped, my body could finally move again. Sweat seeped through the fabric on my body. Fatigue was helping to settle down my fear. I slowly made my way to the window and looked to the other side of the door. All I saw was dead grass and gray sky. I opened the door and felt no wind. There was no more salt around the cabin. I went over to the hill where I had buried her. Everything was just as I left it. I almost collapsed in relief, legs about to give out. Not a single stone was out of place. The circle of salt lay there undisturbed. I looked out to the surroundings. Beyond our cabin lay dead trees, dried riverbeds, and the burnt remains of our neighbor. Beyond that was the town, barely visible but covered in a perpetual shadow. Not a soul in sight. I carefully stepped into the circle. I put down a bag of bullets and checked my revolver again. I kept a bullet in my pocket for myself. Then I made sure there were no breaks in the salt. And that is the end of our story. Round of applause. It was a good story. Kind of difficult to read, but it was okay. Managed to get through it, and it was a good story. I enjoyed that story. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday. Is today Wednesday? It is Wednesday. It is. Halfway through the work week. So, that's fun. Just two more days to go. What do we got going on? So, yes, we've got the Hope Diamond definitely coming this Friday. Okay, I know I said last Friday and I lied. But it's coming this Friday. Trust me. It's coming this Friday. Sunday, we are going to Pennsylvania for our serial killer episode. So, you've got two good ones I have to sift through and decide Pennsylvania. And trust me, they're both really, really fucking wild. So, that's all I got for you guys. I'm sick and I'm having a headache. And so, I'm going to cut this episode now because I don't feel well. So, I will see you guys on Friday. So, remember, stay frosty, stay foxy. Most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.